Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
I see you, but I think you're going to have to wait a little bit. You know the deal. You got to get through some stuff, particularly coming off the weekend. And then we certainly welcome calls, 713-780-3776. We can start a couple spots, really all centered around the Rockets. Another blown lead, this time in front of a national audience. People tuned in to watch them against the Knicks. And leading into that fourth quarter, felt like, all right, nice win for the Rockets. You held Jalen Brunson down. Anytime the Knicks tried to set a screen, you put two on the ball. It kind of messed up what the Knicks wanted to do. We know here what happens when you have non-shooters on the floor. And the Knicks had Sohan at times on the floor. And the Rockets had a good game plan to start. And then the fourth quarter happened, and that has been a real problem for this team. Even an 18-point lead is not insurmountable. I think that's where it got to at one point in the fourth quarter. And I got to admit, there was a cat dunk and he barked at Jabari. And I was like, you know what? Cool, cat. Whatever. This game's over. And I kind of checked out. You know, the TV's on, but I'm not actually paying attention because I feel like the game's over. And then I go, what? What's this? Like, I muted the game. I was done with Mike Breen. Not that he was bad. I was just done. I didn't care anymore.
Yeah, seemed to end.
Yeah, the commentary, whatever. I don't care. Just get this game over. If I feel like this game's over, the Knicks are dead in the water. And then they're not. And then I think I was reading, and then I look up at the television, and it's a ball game again. The Rockets were in the midst of turning the ball over again. I think they turned it over 9 times in the fourth quarter. And then okay, this game's going to get away from them. And it did. They lose. Kevin Durant knocks down a 3 late. Doesn't matter. He does have one final opportunity, a desperation heave. Hits off the backboard. The Rockets lose. I would say improbably, but they do this. So it's not even improbable anymore. And unfortunately for them, and really for their head coach, he's in a dangerous spot. Not that the Rockets themselves will be reactionary about anything. I don't think there is an Ime Udoka firing in the offing, even if they get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. I guess if it's really embarrassing, maybe there's a conversation. But at least with the fans, you don't ever want to be seen as a coach who's keeping the team from reaching their ceiling. Like, the Rockets have on their roster some guys with some limitations. I talked about it last week. I think I started Friday's show questioning the ceilings of Amen Thompson and Alperen Şengün. Then I take a breath and I look at the standings and go, hey, they're right in the mix to be a 3 seed. They're not catching the Spurs at this point, and of course not OKC, but that's a team who could have, at minimum, home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. But what Ime Udoka does or doesn't do offensively has become a big, big talking point for Rockets fans and Rockets media. And unfortunately for him, anytime he makes mention of the Rockets' poor offense, and he talked about it, I'll get you some quotes from Kelly Eco, or at least Kelly Eco has the quotes from Ime Udoka. It always sounds like he is blaming the players and not taking anything on himself for why their offense sputters in moments like they did against the Knicks. I have heard him take accountability, but that's not the narrative. The narrative is you keep blaming the players for things that are your deficiencies. And someone said something, I think it was, I probably read it maybe Friday after the show. They were talking about the Rockets offense, and it just devolves into someone as a ball handler using Amen or Alperen, or excuse me, using KD or Alperen Şengün as the screener, and then getting the ball back to them. It always devolves into that. But the person with the ball has no intentions of getting to the bucket. So there was one example against the Knicks that made me think of this. Amen had the ball. OG Anunoby was on Kevin Durant, primary defender, and I believe Landry Shamet was the defender on Amen Thompson. So KD sets the screen, and you're hoping to get the switch, and you can get the ball back to Kevin Durant, and now Kevin Durant has Landry Shamet on him. Instead, because no one on the Knicks respects that Amen's going to do anything with the basketball, they just switch back, or they get back, and it's still OG Anunoby on Kevin Durant. So your screen was worthless, and now there's less time on the clock, and Kevin Durant has to go one-on-one versus the Knicks' best defender, at least for him at that time. So, sure, there are things they try to do, but if your ball handler is really no threat, OG Anunoby is not going to stay. He's going to get back to Kevin Durant, and you're in a spot where Kevin Durant has to go against one of the better defenders in basketball. So that's kind of what the offense gets to. Yeah, you'll set a screen. But there's no intention. There's no, and he talked about it. In fact, the quote from Ime is this. This was from Kelly Eco. He had a couple quotes after the game about the offense and the collapse. Ball stopped moving, started isolating too much. Same story. We've lost too many games like this. I'm telling Amen and Reed to be more demonstrative and get us into our sets. It's not time to freestyle. Turnovers hurt, but bad offense is just bad offense. And whether it be Amen and Reed Shepard or whoever else is a ball handler at the time, when you put Alperen and KD in an action, there's no fear. Amen can dribble, and unless it's four guys spaced out, he can get to the rim. There's no one's concerned about Amen Thompson's offense when he has the ball in his hands, particularly if you're going to put him in an action with Kevin Durant. You're just going to get back to Kevin Durant. If Amen Thompson would attack with more, I guess, as he may say, be more demonstrative, maybe OG Anunoby is more fearful and he tries to get in front of Amen. Now you have Landry Shamet guarding Kevin Durant, and that's barbecue chicken, is what Shaq would like to say. Instead, OG's like, go on, go, hand wave. All right, sure, set the screen. I don't trust or believe you're going to do anything that's going to compromise our defense. You're right back to where you started. Of course, Kevin Durant's not immune from blame. He turned the ball over quite a bit in that game. He certainly had his hand in the 9 turnovers that the Rockets committed in that fourth quarter. 33-15, they got outscored. And people are sick of it. It is all raining on one guy's head for the most part, and that's Ime Udoka. I think I saw somewhere that he got compared to Tom Thibodeau.
Who would do that? That seems extreme.
I think you might have done it in the past.
But that seems...
But others are doing it after Saturday night's game.
Yeah, no need for all that, folks.
I mean, Tom Thibodeau would have fade. Saw some of that. So, better haircut. I will say that about Ime. He's got a better haircut than Tom Thibodeau ever had.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, he presents himself a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, despite some of the lack of offensive acumen, if he walked into a room, he doesn't look disheveled.
I mean,
Tom Thibodeau looks disheveled after a game.
One guy got Nia Long. Don't ask what happened after that. Yep. And the other guy, you know, he's married to the game.
True. Same results, maybe, at least offense. And you never want to hear the ex of your coach be like, happened to us too. I was driving in today, listening to Bill Simmons with Zach Lowe. Zach Lowe joins them during basketball season, and they were discussing the Rockets' collapse. And Bill Simmons was like, "Hey, those fourth quarter blown leads with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, we saw a lot of that here in that one year that he coached with the Celtics." And then the stats start to pop up. A lot of stats about the Rockets blowing leads in Ime Udoka's tenure. I didn't do the research to verify. I tried to find, use the right search tools, search results, but I couldn't get the official ones. But, you know, there is a tweet from Sleeper Houston that says that blown fourth quarter leads are Ime's thing. 37 blown fourth quarter leads throughout his tenure. Now, of course, that could simply be they're up by two going into the fourth quarter and lost. So,
or did they have like a 2-point lead at any point?
Yeah. There is context here.
It's a hard thing to like quantify.
Yeah, and find, hey, were they up by eight, or in this case, a double digit lead going to the fourth quarter, and then expanded it to 18 and eventually lost it. That's one of those ones like, oof. Now, if it's like a 2-point lead, okay, you don't want to lose a game. It hurts the stat line, but for Ime, but enforces a narrative. But if it's a 2-point game in the fourth quarter, you lose. Okay, it's a toss up, whatever. But he blew 18 fourth quarter leads with the Celtics in his 1 year as well. So it's a thing, and your human eyes would tell you that, and the numbers certainly back it up as well.
18 in 1 year. That's
for a team who was a two seed.
Maybe they went to the playoffs.
Yeah, so you don't. Yeah, maybe that plays a part.
I'm also thinking they must have lost like because like Celtics were really good that
year.
Max?
They were really good that year. So this is what I'm saying. It could be, hey, they took. I don't know what it means. Did you take a lead by 1 point in the fourth quarter? Just like lose
every loss that year, they had a lead at some point in the fourth quarter.
Almost, yeah. If you look at what their record was that year, so he is the guy in the crosshairs because when you have a team that people believe it's very talented, they are going to look and see how's a coach accentuating the positives and finding ways to mitigate the negatives to make this team the best they can be. He is not looked at as at least technically. I mean, there may be some culture stuff, some vibe stuff that he's a part of that people think has helped the Rockets. But as far as his actual coaching acumen, he's seen as a negative by the fans. What the organization sees, they'll never tell you until they fire him or extend him. You're never going to really know until they make that decision.
Because there's no need to be like to have people in the organization be like, don't really believe in this coach before you actually just fire him.
Yeah, there's nothing. Maybe that doesn't help anyone.
Maybe going into the playoffs, there'll be like not this year, but at any point where his job is in jeopardy, it's going to be like, you know, he really needs to make the West Finals or else. Yeah, like that kind of stuff. Or they miss the playoffs completely at some point. Again, I think we both agree. Not this year.
No.
Nothing dramatic is going to happen either with Stone or
Rafael Stone already told you. Yeah. Probably not our year with all the injuries. You said it already. Yeah. So I don't – at that point, the press conference right after the trade deadline, it did not feel like the GM, in his words, is looking at this as – we really got to make a deep run here, or the coach has some questions to answer. At least not public.
And with his actions, doesn't seem like there's a bunch of
urgency. They didn't make a trade to acquire anyone that would help in the run. So the Rockets are acting like they're not a desperate team, and their record, despite what we laid out and what you saw on Saturday night, is one that says you shouldn't be that desperate. I just, as I said much earlier, maybe even the start of the year or maybe last year, it is very unfortunate that the Spurs are where they are because that rebuild, of course, thanks to Wimby, but they've also been able to draft guys who have helped and are playing more consequential minutes than the guard you drafted. And we talked about how if we're just going by Ime's, what he likes in a player, it feels like Castle should have been the pick as opposed to Reed.
And I wonder if it is like more of a Stone wanted Reed Shepard type of thing, and that's why they didn't trade for a point guard, because he's like, no, play the guy I draft.
Well, he said when he joined John and Lance before the year, he was in studio and was and said Reed's not just someone who we like, but it has to be important this year. He needs to play well. So it very well may be that Reed Sheppard, if you want to put it this way, is Rafael Stone's guy. And Rafael Stone's guy is going to play. He's not going to bring in an Alvarado or an Ayudosumu to a greater degree to be someone who's playing instead of Reed Sheppard. And Reed did not play at points in that fourth quarter, and people were very upset because they had issues scoring the basketball. But we know the deal. Reed is not a guy that is trusted by Ime Udoka, and I don't know that changes this year. Lazy J, you want to talk soccer? Because, of course, you do. I wonder what it'll be about. Will it be about Vinny and what he went through? They have, I just saw that they have suspended Prestiani. If you don't know who that is the Benfica player during a Champions League match who the Real Madrid players are accusing of using Spanish. He's from Argentina. The Spanish word for monkey directed at Vinny.
Does this guy have Tourette's?
No, okay. He does not.
I have to ask.
But he did use as his defense. No, I use the slur for gay people, not for black people. That was the defense. No,
always
I,
a great defense.
I use a different.
Always a great defense.
I use a different word that sounds like a word for monkey, but I use it. But I use the gay slur.
No, you don't understand. I was trying to insult you in a different way.
Yeah, that's why. I put my shirt over my mouth because I don't want people to see me use a gay slur as opposed to the monkey word. So maybe that's what Lazy J wants to talk about. Maybe I just undercut his whole talk and he'll hang up. We will find out when we come back. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. We'll certainly talk Rockets. We'll get to this because I think it's the funniest thing I saw, not the Bathurst stuff that Sean mentioned. We can talk about that too. We complain about Jeff Bagwell as part of the Astros broadcast from time to time when, like, Jeff Blum has a week off or whatever, maybe the weekend off. What if we got a taste of Jeff Kent more consistently? I don't know if the Giants will have him back, but the story of spring training to me is Jeff Kent in the broadcast booth and Jeff Kent not realizing people can hear you. We'll talk about that at some point, and we'll get to more. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Lazy J here. And then we'll get to some more Rocket stuff and move on. What's up, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, what's going on, my brother?
What's up?
I wasn't going to talk about Real. Prestiano, he's Argentinian. You know, he's going to be banned for Wednesday's game. He shouldn't be kicked out of Portugal, but that's a different story. I mean, you have Otamendi over here raising up his shirt, trying to get naked, trying to show his little one trophy that he won.
Three.
Then you got Messi over there. So, I mean, nothing fazes me when it comes to Argentina players. They're all trash. The country itself, too, but that's another story.
All right.
I was at the Dynamo game on Saturday, opening night, man, and it was electric. I was surprised how many people was actually there. It was like almost a sellout. You got Guillaume. I think he's a forward or a striker for the Dynamo this year. Man, I don't know if he got his move from Neymar, but, man, he scored two goals, I think 10 minutes, second half of that game. I know they didn't make the playoffs last year. I know they lost in Seattle in 2024, but, man, I don't know. I think this team might be able to go pretty far this year. What's your thoughts on that? Love the show.
Got to tell you, I'm not locked in on the Dynamo. The only thing I really know about them is – Glenn Davis hasn't been thrilled with their practice. You know what shakes people up and makes them forget about your past? Go out and win some games, or in this case, matches. Yeah, he mentioned 2-1. They were down 1-0, and then Guillerme, as he says, scored two goals in the second half. I ain't going to pretend like I have a real insight into what the Dynamo can be, but nice to get off to a good start. And if the crowd is there, it helps that it's opening night, and you gave him a good show. In that one, It was opening weekend for the MLS. The big focus was, as Lazy J would tell you, the trash Argentinian Messi. His team got smoked by LAFC. They played that game in the Coliseum. Messi's in town. You want a big crowd. LAFC continues their run of never losing in an opening match in their history. Now, they have been around for like a decade now, but they're, in terms of an MLS team, somewhat new. But they've been dominant on opening night or opening day, and they did it again. Messi so upset by the referee that he almost went into the ref's locker room. Thankfully, the mature on-the-field player that Luis Suarez is pulled Messi back from getting into real trouble, so he won't get fined.
The Isaiah Stewart effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
He watches a couple Detroit Pistons games, and all of a sudden, look at Messi now.
But Luis Suarez kept his good friend from getting into any real trouble, so he just leaves with the defeat, not a suspension or fine, as LAFC took Inter-Miami apart, particularly in that second half. So I hope the Dynamo are good. It'd be nice in the build-up to the World Cup to have good local soccer. And I was able to watch the MLS game between LAFC and Inter-Miami because they have now removed, at least for the weekend, but I think it's just because they want more people watching leading up to the World Cup. The double paywall stuff is gone on Apple TV. It used to be you have to subscribe to Apple TV, then subscribe to the MLS package. At least this weekend, didn't have to do that. So I don't know if that'll continue. So I watched that. I was like, huh, that doesn't look like their normal place. And then I saw a USC logo. I was like, oh, okay, you want to get 70,000 people in and watch Messi. And his team didn't play well, the defending MLS champion Inter-Miami. So, yeah, Dynamo win. And I'm good to see that the crowd, or hear from Lazy J that the crowd was great. Been a kind of a dead period for local soccer. People questioning the direction. And as you heard, not a playoff team, not been a real contender for a while. I think they have like either a U.S. Open. I think they have a U.S. Open Cup title. Were they? I think they beat Inter-Miami. I remember it because James Harden, I don't know if he's still a part owner, but he was at the time. He showed up at the game in Miami for it. And I thought, okay, they're losing this game. James is there. But they won that one. But other than that, hasn't been a lot of Dynamo success in the last, at least going on half decade, maybe longer than that at this point. So we'll see what they do. And, you know, Glenn Davis will certainly talk about it on Soccer Matters. You'll be able to hear him as well on John and Lance leading up to the World Cup. He'll be a prominent figure there, with Houston certainly hosting soccer matches in at least the group stage, and I think they'll have some knockout round games as well. We'll see how Mexico does for killing people in the cartel. They had to delay some matches this weekend. You better clean that up before the World Cup. Let's figure out all that unrest before the World Cup comes around.
I forgot that they're hosting games.
Yeah, it's Mexico, yeah. The U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
Each country is hosting.
Canada's like, what's going on?
Yeah, we got problems there, problems there. Hey, we're fine. No problems here. I'm sure they do, but not to the level that Mexico has.
Everyone's got some problems.
Every country's got some problems, but not to the level of, hey, we got
military versus cartel.
Yeah. A cartel boss was killed.
I basically watched the entirety of Sicario just by people posting clips of what's going on. I feel like I've like rewatched Sicario.
Yeah, so the El Mencho, who leads the cartel in Jalisco, led the cartel in Jalisco, was wounded in Jalisco, and then he died on a 2-hour drive to Guadalajara. Well, he died while being flown to Mexico City. I think he was driven to Guadalajara. Either way, it's not exactly what the World Cup is looking for. I'm sure they're going to tell people everywhere is safe. When you're delaying matchups in this country of Mexico because of that, they're going to have to figure out a way to maybe, I don't know how FIFA helps.
Yeah.
But this is not what they're looking for.
Yeah. No one who could really solve this?
FIFA. Yeah. Big time problem solvers.
If the problem requires like a bribe to be issued, then yes, I think FIFA can help. If not, it's going to be a tough one for, is it Fiorentino? I forgot who.
Maybe. I'm sure he'll be side by side with the president, the United States president, at the first game.
That's why we got the Peace Prize, not them.
Well, sure. And there's evidence to suggest just recently that I don't know if it should have come here, but it probably shouldn't go there. So JLP96 tweeted me, the MLS season pass is gone. I assumed, I thought I had heard that, but
oh, okay.
But at least I was able to take advantage of it this weekend.
They're like, maybe we shouldn't do what NFL Sunday Ticket does.
Yeah, we don't have that type of pull.
In the words of Draymond Green, they don't love you like Kobe.
No.
they don't love you like they love NFL.
In this case, MLS is the Paul Pierce. And no one's
farewell
looking.
Farewell tour.
Now, you're not I know Messi is there, but you're not getting the casual, even with Messi, to pay a second past the second paywall to watch your product. So that's gone. You can watch MLS games as long as you have Apple TV as you try to get warmed up for what we hope is a big World Cup for the U.S. squad. All right, we'll go to break. I said we'd get to Rockets, but we went long because how are we going to pass up a chance to talk about cartel in Mexico? And we do it respectfully.
With all due respect.
Because, look, I don't know much. I just read the story. I'm not making comments on your business practices.
No,
I'm just not looking for death or violence.
Yeah, if anything, seems like business is great. Seems like you're doing...
Not for El Mencho.
No, but, there's occupational hazards.
It does come with the territory.
Yeah, but, as far as profits, seem to be doing all right.
Yeah, and from what I can tell, or what you might want to tell me, you're an upstanding businessman. If that's the story you're telling,
works for me.
I'll agree. All right, we'll go to a break. We will we'll get to the Olympics because the U.S. is golden again. And while, of course, people were showing the excitement of U.S. crowds celebrating, I was just going through the Canada doom scrolling and watching Canadian crowds not celebrate. And you, as you might imagine, it's their sport. They weren't happy, and a lot of sad Canadian faces. So we'll hear from NBC and their call of the game. And I got a question for a certain youth league that reacted to the game in a certain way. We'll get to that when we come back, and we'll get into a bit of an Olympic wrap-up. Because I talked about Alyssa Liu last week. I've got another story about her because I was wondering about something, and now I have my answer. We'll get to that when we come back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to the U.S. winning gold again, but let's get to Willie P. first. Let's talk some Rockets. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Del. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Not bad. I can't complain. I'm alive, barely. I'm sick. I'm taking a nice little sick day. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. The Rockets game, it was bad, man. I never thought I'd say, I missed Fred VanVleet. I know everybody's been harping on this, and, it's the same team. But it just sucks that, 18 points, man, and then we somehow lose that game. And it's been a rough watch lately. I don't know. I'm hopeful that things will turn around, but man, if not, it's going to be a first round exit, and then we wasted a year, of KD, and he's older. So hopefully things change around. But the real reason why I was calling, hey, I didn't listen to the morning show this morning, but did you see your boy Josh Pate on Twitter this weekend?
I know what got him to respond to people on Twitter, but I didn't really read up on anything he was saying.
So apparently, I guess on his show, I tried to do some research. I mean, he blocked everybody. He didn't block me, but I thought he was blocking everybody. But they were saying that he had a pedo on his show. I don't know. And people were outraged about it. And I was like, dang, Josh, that's a bad look, man. But I was just wondering if John and Lance had talked about it or not. But anyways, that's all I had, man. I really have nothing. You guys have a great day. Love the show as always. Sean A. Mace. What it do, baby? Peace, fellas.
I appreciate just the check-in. Voice some frustration, throw something vague out there, and have me explain. That's what happened here. Thank you to Willie P. Yeah, Josh Pate had the president on. That's the pedo I think Willie P. is referring to. We all know the Epstein Files, whatever. Whatever you think about that, that's what he's talking about. And Josh Pate had to take the barbs and the arrows from people we know, no matter what he thinks. And he put it out there that he wasn't going to ask any political questions of the president. But there's nothing you can do with the president of the United States that does not become political, even if it's simply, we're going to talk college football. It doesn't matter. Polarizing, we get it. We all know the deal. So that's what he had to deal with on Twitter. He does have a video explaining why he had the president on. I'm sure it's very reasoned. This was about football and what the president could possibly do to help college football. That's not going to matter to people. And to expect otherwise is naive. Now, if you go on a blocking spree to protect your peace, fine. But I don't know what he thought was going to happen when you have this particular president on your show. This is just how it's going to go. And you have to eat it or explain it. And if people don't like your explanation, deal with it that way too. But it is, and then people pull the receipts, because I think at times Josh Pate said he won't be talking politics on the show, and he pushed that this wasn't going to be about politics. I have not listened to a sit down with the president, but you do that, you get the reaction, and we'll see how the Josh Pate college football show moves on from that. As far as the Rockets, yeah, it's tough watching them play, watching which should have been a pretty fun Saturday night. You go on to New York. I mean, you're not playing basketball that's that aesthetically pleasing, but you're winning the game. You're punishing and torturing Jalen Brunson for three quarters. Cat's a non-factor.
Ben Stiller's looking sad.
Yeah, you got the Knick crowd frustrated at the referees, begging for foul calls just like the players are through three quarters.
The level of complaining on foul, this might have been the most, like, the most everyone's been upset at the refs in a game I've seen, where it's just like every time down the court there's at least one player, and then when it's would benefit the Knicks, like the crowd around the player just going like,
yeah,
sticking their arms out to the ref, and like in the middle of a play where there's not a call, them like turning to the ref to talk about it, like, obviously, we know what time Shingun's on with that stuff. Durant will talk. It was like just everyone on the court got a turn to be like, why are you calling this? And then they would still call, like, make calls. It wasn't like they were letting everything slide. It was like they all kind of made the decision of, like, listen, we're not going to call a foul every time down the court. So, like, there's a couple times that are just going to be, like, we'll just let a foul slide just because we can't call everything here.
Yeah, the Rockets, physical basketball team. They love to play defense.
Yeah. Knicks didn't back down either.
No, it's just that the Rockets, from what I can tell, and this goes back to last year, and it's mostly centered around their center, they don't like playing through contact. It's not, they don't do it well. They want calls, and it was their first playoff run last year, so okay, you weren't prepared for the uptick in physicality that's not called a foul. Shingun's got to figure it out, man. He's just got to understand that at this point in your career, you're not going to get calls you think you should get, and you got to find a way to work through it, particularly when it becomes the postseason, because if he thinks it's bad now, he got a taste of it last year against the Warriors. Whoever they play, he's not going to get calls. He's not. I don't want to do the boy who cried wolf thing, but his arms are always out, you know, the typical thing we put on Euros. The arms out, the palms up, where's my call? Luka's the worst at it as it stands right now. Shingun is not great with it either. We're going to see a lot of arms out, palms up with Shingun in these playoffs. And he's just got to figure it out, man. Forget about it. It happens to everyone. There is an adjustment period. You are going to take the brunt of it because you're the big man. They're going to beat you up, and you got to figure out a way to play through it. And asking for calls ain't going to help because the referees ain't going to listen to you, man.
Yeah, yeah. There's a play in the fourth where I think the Knicks had cut to like five or three. It was like really like, okay, this is a full-on meltdown happening. And there is a post up from Shingun, and just like the second he caught the ball, I was like, "This," because yeah, I know they're not going to call a foul here, because uh-huh, I think they called one on the other side of the court. So this one is the the purge possession where all crime is legal. I was like, they're not going to call a foul. He's going to flip out about it and throw a terrible pass and or a terrible shot. And it ended up being the pass. It ended up being a turnover. One of the, what was it, nine in the fourth quarter?
I believe so, nine. At one point, they were looking like they were going to score less points than turnovers. But they got to 15, so it wasn't that. But it was bad enough. That was a tough Saturday for Houston basketball fans. Not everyone roots for the Cougs and the Rockets. I'm sure some people do. That was tough. You had nearly 10 minutes of basketball in the Cougars game in the second half where they don't score a field goal. And I've said it before. I think it was after their last loss. All their losses are the same. I'm not looking for a loss, but, you know, to switch it up, maybe go shot for shot and you lose the game that way as opposed to what it is where they go 10 minutes without scoring a bucket, and because of the way they play defense, even though they've fallen so drastically to the 18th best field goal against percentage in basketball after like 4 or 5 years of number one, who knows what it is now. That was last Friday when we talked about it. Their defense is good enough that they can't make shots. They get a couple free throws, and despite all that, after Kingston Fleming's knocks down a three without 2+ minutes to go, they're only down 4. We're talking about 10 minutes of basketball where they don't make a shot. And it wasn't like they had a 10-point lead at the time. They were only up by 2.
Yeah.
When that shot about the 12-minute mark by Sinak, I think it's now Sinak, not Sinak, is how you pronounce his name. At least that's what the broadcast was doing. Their defense is still good enough where they can go on a drought like that, and one shot gets them right back in it. But it's the same thing over and over again. Arizona was missing one of their top guys. Like, watching it from home's painful. I don't know what it was like in that arena. You're trying to keep your energy up. It's a great place to watch a game. You want to keep your team in it. But watching 10 minutes of not making a field goal, it's got to be a rough watch.
Yeah.
You're so invested in the game.
It reminded me of the Rockets-Warriors 25 missed threes game. Because, like, they didn't make field goals in that time, but they did shoot 25 threes and missed them all.
Sure.
Where it's like, yeah, this is just like it feels so helpless of like just nothing can go right. And it is like even more enraging that you're still in the game. It's like at any point, if it's like, oh, a quick like 4-point like mini run, like a little just like spurt would like do wonders for the position that we are in this game. And no, just 10 minutes of just missing every shot from the field you take.
Yes, even, and your defense makes it even worse because you feel like the next shot gets you back in it because of how well you can play defense.
Get a steal, because get a block.
Yeah, because Arizona's not stretching this lead beyond something you can come back from. And at the end of the day, that 10-minute stretch of bad offense was too much to overcome. So the Cougs lose. That's 2 in a row. So this stretch of the biggest week in recent program history as far as games and the opponent isn't going their way. They have a final test tonight against Kansas, who lost their last game, and the Darren Peterson thing continues. The Cougs, relatively speaking, struggling recently. Of course, Kansas hasn't been playing their best basketball, but they do have that 40-0 streak. Bill Self on Big Mondays at home. They're trying to keep alive while the Cougs are just trying to find a way to win a game after losing their last two against big-time opponents. And now, according to Bracketology, no longer a 1 seed, now a 2. And maybe the dreams of playing in your own, well, not your own building, but your own city for a chance of the Final Four may be dissipating. We'll see how they finish out the year. Maybe they can claw back into a spot where that is still in question for them. Ryan, you want to talk TV? We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else? 713-780-3776. So last week, someone called us about, I don't know, maybe it was Ryan. I don't know who it was, about a random show. We'll see if we get another deep cut, or is it something maybe a lot of you have watched. Who knows? It might be real narrow casting going on when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.